This message I'm going to be preaching tonight is only part one, okay? It'll only be part one tonight, and tomorrow night will be part two. And by the way, this is the Good Samaritan. It's the story of the Good Samaritan, and I'm going to preach to you tonight. The part one will only cover verse 30 through verse 33, okay, tonight. All right, and verses 30 through 33 tonight, and I'll be giving you those verses tonight, and I'm gonna go a direction. Tomorrow night we'll do the rest of the verses on part two. Now, I'm gonna show you some things tonight that. Probably you've read this scripture over and over and over, amen, and the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan. But I believe tonight that I'm going to point some things out that you've never seen before. I'm going to show you some things from this verse that God, through the Holy Spirit, showed me. And what I'm going to do, when I was a boy, we worked in tobacco fields. And many times my daddy or my grandpa, we had an old pickup truck and at the end of the field there. And at the end of the day, sometimes my dad says, son, get up on the back of the tailgate. He let the tailgate down and he said, get up here. We're going to have a little talk. We're just going to chat a little bit. Now, sometimes they were good. Amen. Sometimes they were good chats. Sometimes I didn't like them. Amen. I didn't like them. But tonight, I'm going to do something with you, but I'm going to get you up on the back of the tailgate tonight as a church. And we're going to have a talk. Can I have amen? We're going to have a talk tonight, and I'm going to put you up on the back of this tailgate. And every once in a while, somebody is going to try to get off. And when you do, I'm going to get you. Amen. I'm going to say, hey, get back up here. Get back up here. Amen. Pay attention. Pay attention. Because I promise you the message you hear tonight, you won't hear a more important message for your church than what you're going to hear tonight. And I've come here trying to help your church, trying to motivate your church. Trying to get your church excited about some more Muslims out there that are lost. Amen. I mean, some more, people. By the way, they're out there. They're people all over this city that you didn't even know are ready to be saved. They're ready to be saved. I mean, you know, how many more are out there tonight the Holy Spirit's already dealing with? Already dealing with. Amen. But, the reason why tonight I want you to get up on this tailgate, I'm gonna show you something from the scripture, and I want you to stay with me tonight. Stay with me tonight, because it is vital that you see what's about to take place. In verse 30 tonight, and just stay be seated tonight, because what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna dissect verse 30. I'm gonna dissect verse 30. And when I say dissect it, I'm gonna show you through this verse how many truths God wants to show you tonight. Amen. And I want you to stay with me tonight. And let's have a word of prayer before I get started. Father, we come to you tonight, and I pray that, Father, that you would help me tonight. And if ever I need you, I sure need you, and I need you to help me, and I need you to give me strength, and I need you to give me power tonight. And I can't do this without you, God. And I just need you, Lord. I need the power of the Holy Spirit, and please help me now. Now thank you for what you're going to do, and I promise, Lord, that whatever is done tonight in this church service, I promise you that, God, that you'll get all the glory. Thank you now for what you're going to do. In your precious, holy, wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Is this mic going to be okay? Should I get another mic? Let me grab a red one here. I hear it. Okay. Is it on now? Is it on? There you go. I want you to look in verse 30 tonight. Verse 30. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." We know the rest of the story, and we'll read the rest tomorrow night. But we know that this man did rescue. He did rescue. The good Samaritan came. A certain Samaritan came and rescued this man. But I want you to see in verse 30 tonight, I want to show you some truth tonight. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." By the way, it never tells you what this man's name is. Can I have amen? It never tells you what this man's name is. It just says a certain man, a certain man. And he wasn't worried about being popular. Amen. He just was doing what he's supposed to do. And the Bible says, "But a certain man went down." Now look at this word, "went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Now I want to say something. Look at me just a minute. It stops and pauses right there. There's a comma and it pauses. And the Bible says, "And he went down." He went down. Do you see that? Now I want you to notice something. In the Bible, in Jerusalem, you see where the Bible says that this man left Jerusalem and went to Jericho. Went to Jericho. Now let me just say this right here. Hold on just a minute. The word Jerusalem in the Bible means a blessed place. That's what it means. A blessed place. Jerusalem means a blessed place. Jericho means a curse. Is everybody with me? Is everybody with me? I don't know if your preachers or anybody you've ever heard that, but that's what the meaning of Jerusalem. That's what it means there. It says, "And this man went from Jerusalem," which means a blessed place. Amen. "And then went to Jericho." Is the battery's going dead in this one? Okay. All right. Okay. The devil's going to fight it. Amen. He don't want you to hear this sermon. Amen. All right. Take that. Let me go to green. We're going to run out of colors here in a minute. Amen. Go to that one there while he's changed. But I want you to notice something. It says went down. Went down. Do you see that? It says went down. Now, that's interesting. Because when you look at the map, look, if I said I'm going to Florida, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going down to Florida, right? Is everybody with me? I'm going down to Florida. If I'm going to a different geographical place. Or Texas. I'm going down to Texas. That's what we say, right? Okay. Well, he said he went down to Jericho. Well, that's interesting. Because Jericho is above. It's above Jerusalem. Now, can you figure it out, brother? Amen. Okay. Wait, he's just like a man, won't read the directions. Amen. Amen. So I want you to understand. Does God make mistakes? Did God make a mistake in his word? No, he did not. He did not. But he said he went down to Jericho. Now, so we see that what is that? What could that mean? Well, God makes no mistakes in the inspired Word of God. Can I have amen? God makes no mistakes because let me tell you something. any time that you leave the place that God has prepared for you, a blessed place, and you go down to a cursed place that God did not prepare for you, you're going down. I said, you're going down. You're going down spiritually. You're going down emotionally. You're going down physically. And you're going down socially. Can I have amen? You're going to go down any time that you leave the blessed place that God has prepared. Amen. And so when this man, so what is this a picture of? What is this a picture of? I'll tell you what I believe is a picture of. I believe it's a picture of the fall of man. See, God prepared a blessed place for man. But because man failed, he ended up in a cursed place. A cursed place. And you say, Brother Brian, where are you leading up? Where are you going tonight with this? I'll tell you where I'm going. Now get back up on the back of this pickup truck. Amen. Get back up here. I'm going to show you tonight what the world's really like. I'm going to show you tonight what the world's really like tonight. And you know, that's the problem in our churches tonight. We don't see how the world really is. You see, we come to church with our own problems. Amen. And our own self, and look at our own self, and we don't see what the world's really like tonight. And so tonight, what we're going to have to do, what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to kick your walls of your church down, and I'm going to let you see outside the church tonight. I want you to come tonight, and I want you to see what the world is really like tonight. And I mean, buddy, that's our problem. We got our blinders on. We come to church and we sing Amazing Grace, amen? And we sing our own hymns and our own songs and things like that and don't see what's going on really out here in this world. We don't see it. And it's time that the church kick the walls of their building down and look outside and see there's hurting people, there's wounded people tonight, there's broken people tonight, and they need help tonight, amen? And I need you to get back on this tailgate tonight and let me show you what the Bible says. Now the Bible says that man went down and he was going to a what? A cursed place. Jericho's a cursed place. That's what it means. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what happened with the fall of man. The man was in a blessed place. He was perfect. I mean, he had a perfect place. Amen. He had all he needed. He had everything he needed. But because of his decision and what he decided to do, guess where he ended up? In a cursed place. It's called this world. It's called this world. Folks, let me tell you something. This world's accursed. I said, this world's accursed. You say, oh, it's not that bad. It's cursed. Matter of fact, it's so bad, he's going to come back one day and destroy it and create a new one. Can I have amen? That's what he said. He's going to come back one day and he's going to create a whole new one. And why? Because this world is cursed. It's cursed tonight. I mean, it's as bad as I've ever seen. Amen. It's as wicked as I've ever seen. It is ungodly as I've ever seen. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, why? Because this world is cursed tonight, and there's a world out there in a mess tonight. They are in a mess tonight. And what I've got to do tonight, I've got to get a hold of you tonight, and I've got to shake you, amen, and get you to see what this world's really like, amen. And so, I believe tonight that we live in a cursed world. You say, well, the flowers are pretty, yeah, but they got thorns on them. The roses, can I have amen? They're cursed. I'm telling you, this world is cursed tonight. And that's the world that we live in, and it's in a mess, and it's not getting any better. Can I have amen? It's not getting any better. So the first thing that I want you to see is that you live in a cursed world. But look at the next part. Now, by the way, notice that in the old King James Bible, amen, that God put a comma after each one of these. But look at the next part. And the Bible says, and fell among what? Thieves. Hold on just a minute. That didn't say thief. That didn't say one. Can I have amen? Thieves are more than one, right? So therefore, in this world tonight, there's more than one thief. You say, what are you talking about tonight? I'm talking about there's the thief of greed tonight. I'm talking about there's the thief of alcohol tonight. I'm talking about there's the thief of drugs tonight. I'm talking about there's the thief of pornography tonight. I'm talking about there's the thief of wickedness. There are demons out there tonight. There are not just a devil. They are demons out there tonight. And they are literally, listen to me, they are everywhere trying to rob and steal and wreck people's life. Amen? That's what's going on in this world tonight. I mean, we are living in such a, there are thieves trying to break homes up tonight. They're trying to break churches up tonight. Hey, is this ain't work? Can y'all hear me tonight? Can you hear me? I'm telling you what, get back on this tailgate tonight. You got to see, buddy, they're coming from every direction tonight. They're coming, they're trying to rob our young people tonight. They're trying to rob our families tonight. They're trying to rob our churches tonight. They're coming from every direction tonight. And there are thieves out there tonight that are trying to destroy whom they can. They're in every way. So, the Bible says here, look what it says in verse 30, and fell among thieves. And look at the next part, which stripped him of his what? Raiment. Very interesting. And stripped him of his raiment. You know what I believe? Come here, bro. Come here just a minute. Come here. You know what I believe? This old boy, let's say this is him right there. You know what they're doing tonight? You know, you say, are they literally stripping him of his clothes and stuff like that tonight? Well, yeah, in a sense they are. Can I have amen? But you know what's going on out there? Can you unbutton that right there? You know what's going on tonight? Is that those thieves are coming. And by the way, they have no compassion. They have no compassion at all. They're coming along and they're stripping. The Bible says they're stripping it off of. You know what they're taking off of it? They're taking off the raiment of what? Joy. They're taking a raiment of peace off their life. They're taking a raiment of contentment off their life tonight. They're taking everything they can off of them. Can I have amen? I mean, taking everything. I mean, buddy, they're just throwing him on the ground there. Get down on that ground, boy. Amen. And they're taking everything. And they're saying, I don't care. I don't care about, woo, put that shoe back on. Amen. All right. Hey, they're stripping everything they can off of it. Hey, I'm not taking your pants off. Amen. And, they're stripping everything they can, the raiment of joy, peace, happiness off their life. There's people out there tonight have been stripped. I mean, they're miserable tonight. They're unhappy tonight. There's no joy on them tonight. Why? Because the devils have stripped that from them. And I'm telling you tonight that the devil's trying, the demons are stripping everything they can off of them tonight. Let me say tonight that you can get back up. Amen. Take your clothes back. Amen. But what the devil's done tonight, he's stripping all kinds of joy and peace and happiness off of people tonight. Years ago, thank you, brother. You did a good job. Amen. When I pastored in Grand Rapids, I had a bus route. Out of 40 years of in the ministry, 36 of those years I was in the bus ministry. I love the bus ministry. Matter of fact, if you cut my chest open, my heart be shape of a bus. Amen. I love the bus ministry. But I was up there in Michigan. And it was way below, I mean, it was below zero. You know, it's like 20-something below zero up there. It's cold. And I pulled up, preacher, I was going down one of the streets in the city there, and I saw this little old lady walking down the sidewalk there. And, buddy, she looked cold. She looked pitiful. She didn't hardly have much clothes on, you know. So I pulled my bus over there and I opened my door and I said, ma'am, she was poor. You could tell she was poor. And I said, ma'am, I said, would you like to get on a warm bus? And I said, and get on a warm bus and go to a warm church where you can get a warm meal and they got a warm heart. That's what I said to her. She looked at me. She said, yes, I'd like to. She wasn't smiling. Her teeth are back gone. She didn't smile. She looked miserable. She got on the, we went to church. I remember we got to church and that morning I was preaching and I looked back over there about three quarters way. She was sent back and she never smiled one time, never smiled on the bus. Looked like she was the most miserable person. I would say she's probably 60, 70 years old, preacher. That little old lady out there walking in the streets by herself. Well, after church, well, I gave an invitation. She walked down and got saved that morning. She got saved that morning. And I was getting my boots on. It was snow, you know, up there. It's pouring snow. And I was getting my boots on and my coat on and stuff in my office. And about that time, that lady knocked on the door. She had a pitcher in her hand. She said, preacher, she said, I want to show you something. And she walked up to me, brother, and she had a young girl on there and pretty. That girl was pretty. And she said, look at that, preacher. She said, look at this girl here. I said, boy, she's beautiful. I said, is that your daughter? She said, preacher. She said, that's not my daughter. She said, that's me. I said, that's you. I said, boy, and I shouldn't have said this, but I said, that must have been a long time ago. You know, well, that was the wrong thing to say, you know, but you never tell a woman she looks old. But anyway, and she said, no, preacher. She said, do you know how old I am? I said, no, how old are you? She said, preacher, I'm 36 years old. I like to fell in the floor. And I couldn't hardly, you know, hold myself from not being noticed. It just floored me. But let me tell you something. But that's what's going on in the world today. There are people out there everywhere that have been stripped of their joy. And this lady was a prostitute. This lady was a prostitute and was on meth. She'd rot her teeth out and everything else. Hey, let me tell you something. Come on. That's what's going on. Get back up here. I'm telling you, that is what's going on out there right now. Right now, that's what's going on in this world. And we sit in our church and we look nice and we dress nice and we put on our smile and everything else. We worry about our own self and you know what I'm trying to do tonight? I'm trying to kick the walls down and show you what the world's really like tonight. What's going on? And then look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible, notice now, after that was a comma, remember? We stripped her of his raiment. And look at the next part, and what? Wounded him. Folks, look at me tonight. They are a lot of wounded people tonight. Preacher, you're young, but you are pastoring in a time of this nation, this generation, that things are going to come across your desk you never believed. You never believed. Now stay with me. As I pastored, I'm talking about wounded people. I'm talking about little kids that are being violated today. Don't get quiet on me. It's happening. It's happening everywhere. There's somebody probably sitting here that's been violated. In your church. I had a young girl sit, and she said, preacher, she came to my office, and she was like, she said, preacher,
I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you.
I said, okay, come on in. Let me get my wife. I got my wife. I always, when I counsel with a girl, I have my wife with me. And I brought my wife in and set her down. And that little girl said,
preacher, she said, I don't know how to tell you. I don't know how to tell you. She said, my daddy. My daddy.
I'm not going any further from that. Filthy. Her own daddy. Her own daddy hooked on porn and mess like that and has blinded them to his own daughter. And folks, that's what we're dealing with today. I said, that's what we're dealing with today. And that's the kind of mess that comes in our office today and comes in our churches today. And there are people that are being hurt and they're wounded. They're wounded. And that little girl, I remember that little girl bawling her eyes out. I said, honey, you'll never step back in that house. You'll never go back in that house again. I wanted to kill him. I wanted to kill him. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to kill him. But I'm talking about everything you can think about is going on today. I'm not only talking about to girls, to boys. We live in a perverted generation. Now don't get quiet on me. You better get back up on this pickup truck. Amen. We're living in a stinking, perverted, wicked, ungodly generation that's cursed. It's cursed in this world. And there's wounded people. There's broken people been hurt. Thank God that little girl, we took her and we raised her and basically ourselves raised her and took care of her, got her life straightened out. She's now married to a pastor and serving God. But wait a minute. There's people come in that are wounded. There's battered women that come in. They've been battered by their own husband. Mentally, physically, everybody with me? We're dealing with it everywhere. Everywhere. There are wounded people, been hurt by people, abuse, things like that. And folks, I'm trying to get you tonight to see that. Can I have amen? There's broken, hurt, and pain. These bus kids, you have no idea what they go through. You might not have, some of you, they sit in your Sunday school class. You have no idea what happened to them the night before. You have no idea. I'm telling you, they're wounded. They're wounded. There's people been wounded. They've been done wrong. They've been hurt tonight. Hey, let me say this. Look what the next part. Is everybody with me tonight? Everybody with me? Look what it says. And by the way, there's a comma after each one. I think God wants you to recognize these. Can I have them? And then look at the next part. And what? Departed. Departed. Folks, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. Now, I'm trying to get you to realize what's going on in the world. What's going on in the world? You know what departed means? They're left alone. They're alone tonight. I believe I know a little bit about loneliness. Now, look at me tonight. You're looking at a preacher that knows what it is to be lonely. I know what it is to sleep alone. Been married for 28 years and my wife died and slept alone, drove alone, eat alone, pray alone, be alone. Are y'all with me? And can I tell you something? Loneliness is probably one of the worst things you can go through. I mean that. I go to football camp every year in Illinois there, and I go to football camp and I've been going 20 years to football camp. I've been going there every year. I love football camp. Did I tell y'all I like football? Amen. I love football. I love football. I go there every year and coach. And you know, and a great football camp, great camp. It teaches boys how to get tough. Amen. Get tough. That's what's wrong today. We got too many mama's boys. Amen. And everything. That's, matter of fact, that's the first rule of the camp. No mamas are allowed. Cause we don't want you to see how we treat your little baby. Amen. Amen. And we want, and, but anyway, so, Every year, every night, you know, the last night of the camp on Friday night, all, none of the families can come during the week. They can't come during the week. The ladies and all of them, they can't come. But the last night, they let all the families come. They let all the pastors, their wife, you know, pastors, they've been with 300 boys, stinking boys all week long, you know, they're ready to smell perfume now, amen. And so they on last night, the wives and the pastors and everybody, coaches, everybody, they get to come that night for the Super Bowl night and the awards, you know, to give out awards and all that stuff in the gym and everything. Well, it was the last night, and this was right after my wife had died. This was the year after my wife had died. Well, every year my wife, you know, came and, you know, and she'd meet me on Friday night, and we just enjoy it. You know, we enjoy everything. And it was just a blessing to see your wife after being away from her all week, you know. And so my wife had died. Well, that Friday night, all the coaches and pastors had their wives, and we're in the gym. It's packed, and they're all laughing and having fun and hugging and glad to see each other and everything else. And I'm standing in the back, preacher. I'm standing in the back by myself, looking. And I'm looking at all the men are enjoying their wives and stuff. And all of a sudden, I couldn't take it no more. And usually I stick around, say bye to all the pastors and see you next year, or see you, you know, say goodbye and stuff. But I didn't that night. That night, what I did is while they were giving out awards and everybody was having a good time, I slipped out the back door. And I got my car alone and I rode back to the motel. And I remember that night that I got down on my knees by my bed and I said, God, I can't take this no more. I said, God, I can't take it no more. And for about 15 minutes, I just cried. I just cried. I said, God, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. But after about 15 minutes, all of a sudden, I felt something. I felt like God took His big old arms and came out of the sky. And I felt like God took His arms and put around me and just gave me a big old hug and said, I love you, son. I love you. And I felt the presence of God come on me. And buddy, after that, the peace of God came on me and I got in my bed and snored like a bear. Amen. But you say, well, why are you saying that? Because I have God. What did they have? I said, what did they have out there? What does world, I'm talking about a broken world, a hurting world that's lonely tonight. They're sitting in an empty apartment somewhere. They're sitting, they're broken, they're wounded, their life's in a mess, and they're lonely tonight. They're hurting tonight. What are they going to turn to tonight? They're going to turn to drugs. They're going to turn to alcohol. They're going to turn to suicide. They're going to turn to pills. Is everybody with me now? That's what's going on in the world tonight. That's what's going on in the world tonight. Thank God we have the Lord. But what do they have? I'm trying to get you to see tonight the wounded, hurting, departed, lonely people that are in the ditch tonight. Can I have amen? And then look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. And the Bible says, leaving him what? Half dead. Stay with him now. What does that mean? Well, first of all, that means he's not dead. Amen. it means he's not dead. But he's half dead. You know what that means? That means he's breathing. Can I have amen? That means that person's breathing out there, but that's it. That's it. They're doing nothing else with their life. All they're doing is breathing. There's people out there that are just trying to make it day to day. I said there are people out there just trying to make it day to day. They don't know what tomorrow holds. All they know is, if I can just get through today, if I can just make it today, if I can just get it, I'll deal with tomorrow. Amen. But if I can just make it that, all they're doing is breathing. They're just halfling. They're not accomplishing anything with their life. They're not going any direction in their life. They're not living a full life. They're only existing. They're only existing. And that's what's going on in the world today. Can you see what I'm saying? Get back up here tonight. We're living in a cursed world. We're living in a world that's been robbed by thieves. They've been literally stripped of their joy and their peace and their happiness. And they're wounded tonight. And they're lonely tonight. And they're just barely hanging on tonight. That's what's going on in the world tonight. And I'm trying to get you to see that. But I want to show you something tonight. I want to show you something. You say, well, what are we going to do about it, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because there is an answer. Amen. There is an answer. Look what the Bible says. How many of you love this book? Amen. Look here what it says in verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I love to preach on this verse. This is nothing but a backslidden preacher. I said, this is nothing but a backslidden preacher. And there's a lot of preachers out there that could care less people are in the ditch. Hey, is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? Amen. There's a lot. Hey, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear a preacher don't go soul winning. I wouldn't walk across the street to listen to a preacher that don't go try to keep people out of hell. I wouldn't care. Hey, you give me a preacher roll his sleeves up and get in a ditch. Amen. You give me a preacher who's not scared to go out there and knock on somebody's door and tell them God loves them. Amen. And try to rescue them. That's the kind of preacher I want to listen to. Amen. And then look, this guy, and I could preach on this, so this is a backslidden preacher. But look in verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. Boy, this fellow's having a rough day. Can I have amen? Now look, you say, well, what is the Levite? Well, here's how I'm going to translate it. That's a backslidden layman. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Amen. That's a backslidden layman. What's a layman? It's you. That's in the church. What you say, well, the preacher, he don't care. Do you care? Can I have amen? Do you care? Are you out there knocking on doors? Are you out there getting in the ditch too? Amen. Are you, hey, we need the preacher and the layman. Amen. Out there pulling people out of the ditch. Amen. Rescuing people. And boy, we could go there, but I'm not. But now, verse 33. Oh, I'm going to wrap it up, put the icing on the cake now. Amen. How many of you believe this book's the old inspired Word of God? Amen. Amen. Hey, if you believe it, watch this. Watch this. Look what the Bible says. And here's the problem in our churches. Here it is, preacher, right here. You ready? Verse 33. Everybody with me? But a certain Samaritan, and we could just say, with the, since it's an S on Samaritan, soul winner, amen. That's what a soul winner is, a good Samaritan. Look at it. As he journeyed, now look here, after there's a comma, look at the next part, stay with me. It says, came what? Where he was. Now see those doodads by there? See the doodads? Does everybody know what the doodads are? Huh? English teacher, I said that one night. She said, that's a semicolon. Amen. Amen. I said, thank you. Amen. Hey, now look at this and go, look what God put all this there for a reason. He separated. Look what he said. He wants you to pause. Look at it. And verse 33. And it came where he was. And then look at the second part. And when he saw him. And when he saw him, then it stops, right? See it? And when he saw him, that's the second part. Then look at the third part. Look at the third part. He had what? Compassion on him. Stay with me. Put your seatbelt on. Get back up on this pickup truck. I'm going to tell you now where the problem's at. There's a cursed world out there. Listen, I'm talking about outside. Right outside this tent night. There's a cursed world. There is a wounded world. They've been robbed. Thieves are stripping them. They're breaking their life. They're breaking their homes. They're wrecking young people's lives everywhere and being wrecked everywhere. Now stay with them. And they've been stripped of their joy and they're wounded. They're hurting tonight and they're lonely tonight and everything. What are you going to do? I'll tell you where a lot of people go wrong. Are you ready? Here's what they say. You sit here and say, God, give me a burden. God, give me a burden. Give me a burden, Lord. I want a burdened soul. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And it won't happen until you, first of all, go where they are. That's what it says. Look at the first part. He went where what? He was. Then he saw him. Then he saw him. The Bible, that second part comes in then. Then he saw him. And then the third part, that's when the compassion kicked in. Can I have amen? I'm going to tell you tonight, you're not going to, look, that's why a bus captain, he brings kids to church and they throw bubble gum and they throw candy everywhere and they're swinging from the lights, amen, and they're a bunch of brats running around and you're sitting there, get them brats out of this church. And that bus captain said, I can't get rid of that kid. I can't get rid of him. He's a drunkard. I want to go into his home and see what it's like. Hey, you know why he's got the patience with that bus kid? You know why he loves that bus kid? I'll tell you why he loves that bus kid. Because he went where he was. I used to sit on the front row, Pastor, when they show their DVD or whatever it is, and they show the pictures, you know, of their country. I wouldn't look at those pictures. You know what I did on purpose? I sit there on that pew they were sitting on, and I looked down at their face. I looked down at their face, and many times, I saw missionaries sitting there, tears pouring down their cheek. They have seen that film, they seen that DVD hundreds of times. And it still breaks their heart. You know why? Because they've been where they've been. They saw how they live. They saw real people there. And it broke their heart. And I'm going to tell you this, church, you're not going to get a compassion for out there. And you're not going to see a world that's lost. You're not going to see a world that's broken. You're not going to see a world that's in a mess tonight until you go where they are, amen, and see how they're living tonight and see how their lives are in a mess tonight. Hey, that lady today would not have gotten saved if we'd not gone where she was. That lady would not gotten saved if we had not gone where she was at. When I was a bus captain at Forest Hills Baptist Church, I was a bus captain and I made a vow to God. I said, God, I said, I'm not. I said, what I'm going to do, I said, Lord, every Saturday afternoon when I'm done with my bus route, I'm going to go and knock a whole street. Just go knock every door on that street. I said, that's what I'm going to do, Lord. Every Saturday when I'm done with my bus route, I picked the street and went and knocked every door. Well, my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, and she was my fiance. She worked on my bus route. Well, we got finished with our bus route, and we picked the street. And the first door I came to, an elderly lady came to the door. And, well, if you're a bus captain, you don't like to see old people. Can I have amen? Because they don't want to ride the bus with a bunch of brats. Amen, a bunch of kids. And so I witnessed to her and stuff, and I went to the next house, every one of those houses, elderly people came to the door. The last house I came to, I told my wife, I said, if an old lady comes to this door, I'm going to trip her and push her down the steps. Amen. and so my wife, she laughed. She knew I wouldn't. Amen. But I was just picking. Well, I knocked on the door, and guess what? An old lady came to the door. And I said, ma'am, I said, they must be nothing but old folks on this street. She said, yeah, this is a retirement street. Amen. I knocked every house on that street. I said, well, ma'am, and she was saved. I witnessed to her, and I gave her a tract. And I said, well, ma'am, I know you don't have any kids to ride my bus, but you have a good day. And I turned around to walk home. She said, well, wait a minute, I do. She said, I've got a granddaughter. She said, could you come in a minute? I'd like to talk to you about her riding the bus. I said, sure. So we go in and we sit down and she said, now before I call, her name's Michelle, and before I call Michelle in here, she says, I need to tell you the story behind Michelle. I said, okay. She said, Michelle's very timid. She's very, very shy. She said, let me tell you what was happening. It was on one morning that she was in the bed with her mom, and they were playing, having mother-daughter time in the bed. They were kind of wrestling, playing, you know, just having fun with each other. And Daddy walked in with a 12-gauge shotgun, and he blowed his mama's brains out right there in front of little Michelle. He took the shotgun, stuck it back in his mouth. He took the shotgun, put it back in his mouth, and blowed his brain, fell dead across Michelle, and half the day Michelle laid in bed with her mom and dad. She was telling me this. I couldn't believe it. And she said, but her cousin found her, and that's how they found her. And she said, now she's very insecure. She don't want to leave me and nothing. But she said, my health is bad, and I've been wanting my granddaughter to go to church so bad. She said, so you think we could take her? I said, I'd love to. So they called Michelle in there, and I'll never forget little Michelle. She came in there, little Michelle. She had real kinky type hair and brown hazel color hair, you know, and she's prettiest eyes, boy, big eyes, you know, beautiful eyes, but she came in there and she said, Michelle, this is Brother Craig and Sister Bonnie, and they're gonna take you to church tomorrow. Would you like to ride the bus to Sunday school with them? And immediately Michelle, she was like this, she's right up next to her grandma, and she goes, like that, shook her head, no. Well, finally, Grandma said, well, I tell you what, you come by tomorrow, maybe we can talk her into going. I said, okay. Well, I pulled the bus by that morning. When I pulled up there, Michelle was on the porch with a little strawberry dress. I think they bought it at a hand-me-down store, and the strawberry was torn. I remember that little strawberry on her dress was kind of torn halfway off, you know. It was just hanging. And she was under her grandma's armpit. She was just cleaned up under her grandma. Well, literally, her grandma literally drug her to the bus. Literally drug her to the bus. Got her up on the bus, put her in the second seat. And my wife sat by Michelle, kind of pinned her in there. And while we drove off. Well, little Michelle, she was panicking. You know, you could tell she was very insecure. And my wife tried to comfort her. She was trying to go, it's okay, Michelle, it's okay. We're going to bring you back. You know, we're going to take care of you and all that. Well, about that time, You know, Michelle kept looking back, just looking back. Then she looked down, never look up anymore. And I was looking rearview mirror at her, so I was driving the bus. And well, we got to church, and they went to Sunday school and stuff. Well, after church, all the captains had to. We had 77 bus routes in Atlanta, so there was a lot of buses. And I was sitting on my bus, and here come that Sunday school teacher with little Michelle. Well, she gets on the bus, and she said, Brother Craig, do you know Michelle? And I said, oh, yeah, I know Michelle. She's my favorite. I said, she's my favorite writer. She said, well, I just wanted to tell you that little Michelle got saved this morning. And she said, little Michelle got saved this morning. And I kind of went to reach over and hug her. She, you know, jump back a little bit. And I said, oh, Michelle, I'm so glad you got saved today. Well, she sat down. And on the way home, my wife talked her into going home with her that afternoon and come back to church that night and get baptized. We baptized our bus kids on Sunday night. And so she actually talked her to her, and she actually went home with my wife. She was getting more secure with my wife. Well, my wife sewed her little strawberry back up on her dress that afternoon and fixed her up and put some little things in her hair and ribbons and things. Well, then that night she got baptized. And that night she got baptized, and we took her home. And little Michelle started coming to church every Sunday. Well, each week we saw more of a skip in her step, you know. She would get more excited about the bus coming. Well, years passed, a few years passed, and finally God called me off to finish college and went off back to my hometown in Salisbury and became a bus director there at a church, Gospel Light Baptist Church. And, I was there a few years, and finally I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, can I go back and get ordained? I didn't get ordained at my church. I'd like to get ordained back at my home church. He said, that'd be fine. Well, I went back, and they ordained me. And that night, after I got ordained, I was standing preaching in front of the church, the communion table and stuff. And this big church, 2,500-seat auditorium packed out. People started piling out, coming around, shaking my hand, congratulating me. And all of a sudden, this young, beautiful, modest-looking girl stepped up and looked at me. And she said, Brother Craig, do you know who I am? And I looked at her, and I looked at her eyes, and I'd seen those eyes before. I said, are you Michelle? She said, I'm Michelle. And we threw our arms around each other and hugged and cried. I said, Michelle, what are you doing now? She said, Brother Craig, she said, I'm graduating this year from our Christian school. She said, somebody paid my whole way through Christian school. And she said, I'm graduating and I'm going to Hiles Anderson College. And she said, I'm going to be a Christian school teacher, just like Miss Bonnie, and I'm going to marry a good-looking preacher like you. Amen. And I said, Michelle, you're so smart. Amen. Amen. And we laughed. And she went off, and she went to Bible college. A few years passed, and I'm done with this. I'm done with my message. A few years passed, preacher. I was up in Michigan pastoring. My phone rang. And he said, hi, my name's Pastor So-and-so. I pastor down here in Mississippi. It was down in Mississippi somewhere there. He said, my name's Pastor So-and-so. He said, Brother Brian, would you mind coming and preaching at my church? And I said, Brother, I'd love to. He said, well, let me tell you who I am. He said, my name's Pastor So-and-so. And he said, do you remember little Michelle? I said, yeah, I remember little Michelle. He said, that's my wife. And we want you to come and preach for us. We'd like to honor you for leading my wife to Christ and get my wife saved. To God be the glory. I went back and preached for them. They honored me like I've never been honored. But the greatest honor was to see that little girl that was broken. And you'll never have that experience. You'll never have the joy of reaching or doing something until you go where they are. Till you go where they are. It would have never happened. It would have never happened if I had not decided, I'm going to go where they are. There are people broken tonight. There are people hurting tonight. There are people wounded tonight. And they're just waiting. They're just waiting for somebody to get up and say, hey, I'm trying to get you to kick the walls out tonight and go outside these walls of this building tonight and this church and this tent tonight and say, we're going to go reach a broken world tonight. We're going to go get a broken world tonight. And you'll never have a compassion for them till you go where they are and you see how they really are.